Are your chains gone this morning?
Amen.
You been set free? Amen, man. You know, if you notice the songs that Jake put together this morning are about freedom and about being set free and no more religion and all about relationship and such. And because that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. When Jesus first began his ministry, the message, it's important that you understand this, the message that he preached was never meant to be a casual call to convenient living. Do you understand that statement? His message was never meant to be a casual call to convenient living. The message that Jesus preached when he first came on the scene was a message of repentance and forgiveness. Jesus was saying, man, it's time to come out of the life of sin that we live in. It's time to come out of a life of, listen to me, a life of empty religion. It's time to get away from all of those broken down traditions and things that y'all have been living in. And it's time to get yourself into a living relationship with me, is what Jesus was saying. It's time to stop all that stuff. It's time to get past all that stuff and put your eyes on me. You see, that was the message that Jesus was preaching when he came on the scene some 2,000 years ago. It was all about relationship. It was all about getting past the religion in the people's lives. Well, this morning, I want us to take a look at the difference between living a life of religion and living a life of relationship. So if you have your Bible, I want you to open it. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you somewhere. Next Sunday, bring your Bible. If you can't fight a fight, you can't be in a war without your sword. Bring your Bible. Don't depend on that screen. I promise you, if you meet somebody in the parking lot after church and they want to know where the Romans Road is, you can't run them in here and show them the screen. Bring your Bible. All right? Open it to the book of John, if you will. Go to chapter 3. This morning I want to talk with you about a man by the name of Nicodemus. I want to talk to you a little bit about his life and what his life held. Book of John, chapter 3. We're going to look at John 3. We're going to go from verses 1 through 8 this morning. John wrote, and he, in verse 1 he said, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God.' He said, 'For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.'" "Well, how can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Father, I pray that you would use me this morning as a vessel of honor, and I pray, God, that in this time that we have together, that the Spirit of God would move among the people and me, Lord, this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would allow me to be your mouthpiece, Lord, that we might all walk out of here changed, that we might grasp something here, Lord, find a great nugget or step into one of those great aha moments with you where we can truly be changed. Father, thank you for your word. I love you this morning. And I say to you this morning, Lord God, that it is you, only you, Lord, who is worthy. So bless us with your presence. Bless us with the Spirit of God. Speak to our heart and receive your praise. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. John tells us in verse 1 of this passage, first of all, that Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. You can see there in verse 1. He says Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Put that up there, please. There you go. Which means he was a religious man. Nicodemus had memorized most of this Old Testament. He was a Pharisee. One of the requirements back in that day. He had literally memorized much of the Old Testament. Knew all of the commands that God had placed on the people. He knew all of the laws. He knew all of the laws, man, without even referring back to the book. He understood all of the traditions that had been handed down and passed down to him throughout the generations. And let me tell you something else. As a Pharisee, he had a moral responsibility to uphold all of those laws, all of those commands, and all of those traditions as they were passed down to him, simply because he held the title of a Pharisee. But Nicodemus's responsibility, it didn't stop there. You see, because John also said that Nicodemus was a member of the Jewish ruling council there in verse 1, which means he was a member of this organization which is known as the Sanhedrin. It was made up of 70 different men who oversaw all of the religious rules of the Jews and the Jewish matters. So, you know, if you look just at verse 1 right there, it's pretty obvious from what we read that Nicodemus was a well-known, well-schooled, prominent kind of guy. I mean, this is just who he was. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. If you look over in your Bible to verse 10, Jesus even said to him, "You are Israel's teacher." "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said. All in all, you see, Nicodemus was a successful man. But listen to me. Even with all of this in his life, even with all of the recognition and the accomplishments that he had in his life, there was still something missing right here. There was something missing right here in this part of his body. The man knew everything about the Old Testament. Man, he knew all about God. He knew all about the laws and what you could do and what you couldn't do. He knew everything that had been passed down to him through the generations about how life should be done. He knew all of those things, but he still had something missing right here in the middle of his chest. There was this big black void right there. Something was missing, man. So if you look at verse 2, it tells us that he came to Jesus and he said, "Rabbi," now keep in mind, you've got this prominent man and you've got this prominent man that's just totally confused here. And he says in verse 2, he came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi," he said, "we know you are a teacher who has come from God." He said, "for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." You see, he knew all about Jesus. But he did not have a relationship with Jesus. And listen to me, look up here. There is a big difference, church, between knowing about Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus. There is a great, great difference between having Jesus as the Lord of your life and having the Lord in your life. I mean, there's a great difference there. Nicodemus, he knew all about Jesus. But in his heart, man, it was filled with religion, traditions, laws. It was filled with all of that stuff. He knew all about Jesus. He was filled with the religious things of the world. And let me tell you something. I don't know if there's anything in this world that will make a person's life more miserable than to fill your heart with empty religion. I don't know if there's anything in this world that will make you more miserable in your soul. But you know, there are still so many people out here in the world sitting in churches this morning whose life is filled with empty religion. And they are miserable in their soul. They have put God in a box. Listen to me. They've taken God and they've put God in this box so that God will perform the way that they think He should perform. You can take religious people and you can always find them. You can always kind of see who they are. You can always kind of feel that in your heart. Because you see, religious people, listen to me. They go to church on Sunday. They listen to the Word of God being preached. They open their Bible and they read the words in the Scripture and everything that goes along with it. And when the message is all done, they say, "Boy, whew, I sure wish Sister Sally Bob was here to hear that one. Or Brother Billy Bob was here to hear that one." You see, everything is applied to everybody else, and it's never applied to their own life. It's never applied to their own life. They hear the message, man, but they never grow from the message because it's always for someone else. They come to church, raise their hands, praise God, give glory, sing songs. "My chains are gone and I've been set free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." And then they go home and with the same mouth they cuss out their spouse and their children. They use the same mouth that they come up here and said, "Praise God and glory to God in heaven." And they go home and use the same mouth to use God's name in vain. Come on. Tell me I'm wrong. I'll step off the stage. The world is filled with religion, man. The world is filled with religion. People who come to church and they fall at an altar because the Spirit of God burdens their heart, and they come and they bend the knee at an altar of God and they say, "Oh God, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I'm so sorry for all the mess I've made in my life. I'm so sorry. God, I promise you, if you'll just clean me up, I'll never do it again, Lord." And they leave church and do the same exact thing that they did before they went to the altar. The promises were empty. The promises meant nothing. The world is filled with religious people. Religious people, they know all about Jesus, man. But they do not have a true living relationship with the Savior of the world. Their life is filled with religion. And they want it. They want it in their heart. And you see, and that's where Nicodemus is right at this moment. He knows all about God. He knows about all the commands and the laws and the traditions. He knows all about Jesus, and he's still miserable in his soul. So there in verse 2, it says he came to Jesus at night. Look at your Bible. He came to Jesus at night. Why did he do that? Why at night, guys? Why night? Let me tell you, I don't think he wanted to be seen with Jesus in broad daylight. I don't think he wanted people to know how he really felt. I mean, we've got a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council here. How's he going to explain to his associates what he's doing, seeking out an itinerant rabbi that no one can accept or understand? I mean, let's face it. We've got a Jesus here, a preacher, that's running around telling people he's the Son of God. He's forgiving sins. He's performing miracles that they surely don't understand. And they haven't got any of this all sorted out. None of these things added up, man, when it comes to the Pharisees or the teachers of the law, the Sanhedrin, those leaders, because their hearts was filled with religion. They couldn't see past religion to see relationship. They couldn't see past the religion to live a life that Jesus Christ wanted them to live. They were so bound by everything around them. The chains that had not been broken, the chains that had kept them bound. Nicodemus, he knew that there would be issues if they caught him with Jesus. So I believe he came at night because he was afraid to be seen with him in broad daylight. I don't think he wanted people to know how he really felt. And you know, there are a lot of people in this world. There's a lot of people that come to church right here on Sunday morning and do the same thing. They never come to Jesus. They never come to Jesus for the same reasons. They are afraid. Most people, do you know that most people are afraid of Jesus because they're afraid that they're going to have to change? Do you know that? Well, let me tell you something about my Jesus. Y'all look up here because this is real important. If you get a good dose of Jesus in your life, you will change. Everything in your life will change. All of those things that the world has taught you, you will give up and you will walk away. All of those things in your life that the world says is okay, and when you get a good dose of Jesus in your life, I promise you, you'll walk away from them. He will change you. You will put down those things. Listen to me. You will put down those things that people look at and say, and they're a Christian? You will put them down. You'll put them down. You see, when we get a good dose of Jesus, we don't want to do them anymore. We don't want to do them anymore. It's not a matter of not having to do them or Him not wanting us to do them. It's a matter of us not wanting to do it anymore. If you get a good dose of Jesus, if you allow the Spirit of God to fall upon you, I promise you, you'll change. I think a little bit of Nicodemus' problem was that was pride, simply because he didn't want other people to other people to think bad of him. And you know, people come to church and never come to Jesus because of the same reason. People come to church and look up here. They won't raise their hands. The Spirit of God is all over them, but they're afraid of who's standing next to them. They won't say, glory, whoa, thank you, Jesus. You know why? Because of who stands next to them. They won't come out here and get out here in this aisle and fall up on their face before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Do you know why? Because they're afraid somebody will say, look at that. They're just afraid of what people will think. They're afraid of what people will think. A lot of people never come to Jesus because they are afraid of what people will think. They won't come to an altar because they're afraid of what someone will think. They're thinking something is really wrong here. Well, let me tell you what. If you need to be here, something is really wrong. Bottom line. They're afraid. Nicodemus, he probably had some issues there, but he still knew what was in his heart. And so he went to Jesus at night. Look what happened in verse 2. It says, he came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Let me stop you right here. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus knew what he was thinking. Jesus knew what was in his heart. Jesus knew that there was nothing in there except empty religion and tradition. Jesus knew what he was thinking. In Mark chapter 2, there was these four men that put this guy on a mat. Tried to get him over to Jesus so he could be healed. Crippled man. As they were carrying him to Jesus, there were so many people around the house that they couldn't get him to Jesus. So they went around behind the house, climbed up on the roof, dug a hole through the roof, and these four men lowered their buddy on this mat down before Jesus so Jesus could touch him. Jesus turned around and said, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. And the teachers of the law, they said, wait a minute, what right does he have to forgive sin? And look what Jesus said. It said, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their heart. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? You see, listen to me. Jesus knows what you're thinking. Whether it is good, bad, or indifferent, at any given time of the day, Jesus knows what we're thinking. He understands what we're thinking. And the point that I'm making here is that he knew what Nicodemus was thinking when he came to him and said, we know you've come from God, or you wouldn't be able to perform all these miraculous signs that you're doing. Jesus knew what he was thinking. So in verse 3, Jesus just cut the chase. He just flat cut the chase. And he said there in verse 3, he said to Nicodemus, he said, I'll tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Let me give you a Pastor Rocky paraphrase right quick. Nicodemus, if you really want to get rid of all that emptiness and that big void that you're carrying around in the middle of your chest, if you really, truly want to get rid of all of that, you're going to have to step out of the religious garbage that you're living in, and you're going to have to step into a living relationship with me. You see, Nicodemus, if you really want the kind of life that I have come to give you, you're going to have to be reborn. Bottom line, there's your Pastor Rocky paraphrase. You're going to have to be reborn. Let me tell you something. That rule applies to every one of us as well. That rule applies to every one of us. Let me tell you why. Because religion is not going to get you into heaven. Religion is not going to get you into heaven. Jesus said that when all of this world's done, he said there's going to be a group of people that's going to be standing out there saying, but Lord, wait a minute. Didn't we eat together, Lord? And didn't I cast out demons in your name, Lord? And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. You see, religion is not going to get you into heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you have to be reborn. And Nicodemus, this just blew him away. He didn't understand. He didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say to him, because you see, there was a major communication gap going on here. I mean, he didn't understand this. He didn't understand that kind of language. But let me tell you something. That's the way it is between people who have a relationship with Jesus and people who don't. We have a major communication gap. When we tell someone that we've been born again, that don't know Jesus, and we tell them we've been born again, they say, oh, really? How's that working out for you, mama? Born again, huh? When we ask someone, are you saved? They say, saved from what? Saved from what? And we say to them, well, but you don't understand. If you don't know Jesus, you're lost. And they say, I ain't lost. I know exactly where I'm at. I got me a GPS. I know exactly where I'm at. And so we tried to take it a little further, and they said, but you don't understand. You need to confess. And they said, I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. Why should I have to confess? You see, when it comes to those people who have a true, living, viable relationship with the Lord Jesus, we have a different language, man, than those people that don't. Nicodemus, he didn't. And so there was a great communication gap there. He didn't understand what Jesus meant when Jesus said, you have to be born again. So in verse 4, look at your Bible. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and to be born. Now, if we go back and look at what Jesus was saying there about being reborn, back in that original language, that translation of born again is pronounced anothen. It literally means to be born from above, to come from a higher place. The Strong's Concordance, it says, it is the same thing as if to start again from the very first. And that's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. And then Jesus told him in verse 5 how that had to happen. Look in verse 5. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. This verse of Scripture has been interpreted by a lot of different people to mean a lot of different things, and I'm not going to go through them all. But I am going to tell you what I believe Jesus is saying here. Stay with me. At the time this conversation took place between Jesus and Nicodemus, Nicodemus was still living under the law. You see, Jesus, his mission had not yet been fulfilled. He had not yet died. That veil had not yet been torn. So Nicodemus was still living under the law. So I believe that Jesus was using Old Testament teachings here to try and explain to Nicodemus what it meant to be born again. Let me give you an example. One of the traditions that was passed down throughout the Old Testament was simply this. Before God would accept you, or whatever it is that you had to bring to Him, it had to be washed. It had to be ceremonially clean before God would accept it. Now, if we take that mindset or that perspective and go over to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, and we go back and look at chapter 36. There's a reference in there. And it says in chapter 36, beginning in verse 24, here's what happened. When Israel's people were taken into captivity, God said this through Ezekiel. He said, for I will take you out of the nations. I will get you up out of that garbage that you're living in. He said, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. Look what he said. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Here's what he says will happen. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all of your idols. He said, I will make you ceremonially clean. He said, and I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. When God said that he would sprinkle them with water to make them clean, he was saying, I will cleanse you from all of your impurities. I will take away all of those things that stand between you and me. I will make you ceremonially clean. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, listen to me, before you come into the kingdom of God, before you can even enter there, you have to be made clean. The same as if you were being washed in the Old Testament before it was presented to God. You have to be made clean. And that cleansing has to come from above. You have to let God remove the impurities that's in your life. Put a new spirit and a new heart within you, just like he did those people of Israel. Let me tell you something, church. That's what relationship is. That's where relationship begins. It's about getting the impurities, the garbage out of our life. It's about letting God put a new spirit in us and a new heart within us. In verse 6, Jesus explained why there's no other way into heaven or to have a relationship with Him. There, verse 6, He said, flesh gives birth to flesh, He said, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. We're people. We are people. We can birth other people. We give birth to people just like us, flesh. That's all we can do. That's as far as we can go. Because you see, we cannot birth, listen to me, a new spirit within us. We do not have that ability. Only God can cleanse us from our impurities. Only God can put a new spirit within us. Only God can give us a new heart. Only God can take us out of the garbage that we're living in and put us into a right relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Only God. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's where our authority stops. That's why it's an order of things that God has done. Many times when somebody says, how did you know there's a God? Man, look at the order of things. If you read 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians tells you that He is a God of order. Why do you think cats don't give birth to dogs? Why do you think a cow doesn't give a birth to a horse? Why do you think a tomato plant doesn't yield potatoes? There is an order to things. Why do you think the sun and the moon every day follow the same path? Why do you think the earth has the same rotation every day? There is an order to the way God does things and has created things. God has given us as people the ability to make or birth or create people. But only God's Spirit can create and birth a new spirit. That's the order of things. In verses 7 and 8, He starts tying all this together. And He said, Nicodemus, He said, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus is telling us in this passage of Scripture that we can't control God's Spirit just like we cannot control the wind. We have no control over that. But listen to me. We have no control over where it's going or where it's been. We have absolutely none. But I will promise you this. If the Spirit of God falls upon you, you will see the effects of it. Just like if a massive wind comes through, you will see the effects of it. Let me tie all this together for you. And this is very important. Statistics tell us that 50% of the people in this country that claims to be in a relationship with Jesus are not. Does that blow your mind? I mean, that literally blew my mind. Statistics say that half the people sitting in churches, they're not saved. They simply have a religious relationship, if you will. But they don't have a living relationship with the Lord. They are simply religious. Half the people. I think one of the reasons that the statistics are so high is because we don't want to admit to ourselves where we are with the Lord. I think we're afraid. I think we're afraid to truly stand before a living God and let Him see us as we are. And so I think we lie to ourselves and we say we're okay. Let me ask you a question. And I don't want you to answer this. I just want you to think this thought. Listen to me. You guys look up here. If Jesus came back today, and if it turned that where you stood before God, and God said, God looked you in the face and said, based on the life that you're living or that you have lived, should I open this door and let you in? Are we in that kind of a relationship where I can open this door and let you in? If you don't know how to answer that, I want to ask you a couple questions, and I want you to answer these. Do you sometimes doubt whether or not you're really saved? Do you? Do you sometimes doubt whether or not you're really going to go to heaven? If you have those doubts, if they're reoccurring, you might want to check yourself. Let me ask you something else. Do you act one way in church and then go home and act another? Seriously. Do you come in here and sing songs to God and lift your hands to praise, glorify Him, and then go home and use that same mouth to use His name in vain? Seriously, do you? Because if you do, you probably need to check yourself. Let me ask you something else. Is there a void in your life? Right here. Do you wake up every morning and go to bed every night feeling like you're going to wake up tomorrow and do the same thing over again, and there's really no life there? If you have that, you might want to examine yourself. The last question I want to ask you is simply this. Do you still believe that you have to be good enough for Jesus to accept you? Or have you truly come to that place where you believe grace is good enough? Ask you to do something. Close your eyes. The Spirit of God is here this morning. And He's here this morning to lift you up out of that emptiness. He's here this morning to set your feet on solid ground and help you get into a right path, a right direction. He's here this morning to help you get it. And my question to you this morning is simply this. Are you going to be like Nicodemus? Or are you going to step outside of that chair and allow Jesus to do what Jesus wants to do? It's time to step away from living a religious, empty life with a big void in the middle of our chest and get ourselves into that right relationship where God can use us to move the kingdom of God forward. So I'm going to ask Jake to sing a song. And I'm going to say to you, if you answered yes to any of those questions, if you doubted whether or not you're really saved, if you go home and act differently than you act when you're in church, if there's an emptiness here, man, that you know there's more
betrayed. Or maybe you just simply believe you have to be good enough and that grace is not enough. I want to ask you to step away from your chair. Maybe there's a brokenness in your life. Maybe something's happened in your life that you've given up on God. Maybe you're angry at Him for something. Maybe you've been tempted and stepped away. Whatever it is, man, don't leave here this morning. Don't leave here carrying it. You don't have to leave here carrying it. He will give you the relationship that He's promised. Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just humbly, I bring this congregation, Lord, and I ask You this morning to send the Spirit of God here to speak to the hearts of the people. And if there's someone here this morning, Lord, someone here this morning that truly needs to be back in that right relationship with You, begin a new one, or burden their heart, bring them forward. If there's someone here that's dealing with brokenness, bring them forward. Father, I love You this morning, and I give this over to You now. May the Spirit of God have His way in Jesus' name. Amen. You can either come up here and let God deal with whatever you're dealing with, or you can be like so many others.